Let us hear the word of God. We shall turn first to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we're going to read the first 38 verses of that chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let us hear the Lord speaking to us. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him: peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm. And they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favour in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man, strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. And we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us both by day and by night, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, and 5 sheep already prepared, and 5 seahs of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I guarded all this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he's returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your servant." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who've kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who's restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. And he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. I have obeyed your voice. I have granted your petition." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was very merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please turn with me now to Matthew chapter 7, and we shall begin reading at the 15th verse of that chapter. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Let us hear the Lord speaking to us. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thorn bushes? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated and please turn with me to the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 25. Let us pray together as we prepare to consider these words of Scripture. O loving Father, we thank you that you have made your written word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, we thank you that you send forth your Spirit to enable us to discern and see wonderful things in your word. And we thank you that your Spirit so works within us that he creates a love for your word as well as a love for you. Father, we thank you that all of your word is written for our instruction and for our learning. And so we come before you this afternoon, Lord, praying for your blessing upon us as we meditate upon the same. Grant, Lord, that each and every one of us would be enabled to grow. Those of us who know you, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And those of us who don't know you yet, to grow to know what a gracious and glorious Saviour the Lord Jesus Christ is. So come, Lord, and bless us this afternoon, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you'll see that this is a long chapter and it can be divided into three sections. The first of which is very short, namely just the first part of verse 1. The second section is from the second part of verse 1 all the way through to verse 35. And it's those verses we're going to be concentrating on this afternoon. And then the third section is from verse 36 to the very end of the chapter, to verse 44, where we read of the death of Nabal and David taking Abigail, Nabal's widow, as his wife. The chapter begins, as we've already intimated, very fleetingly making reference to the fact that Samuel finished his days here on earth. And he finished his days here on earth as a man who was faithful to the Lord. He was not perfect, but he loved the Lord, he served the Lord, he taught the Lord's word, and he encouraged people to be faithful and true to the Lord as well. And that's precisely what a godly person is called to do. We shall have cause to see next week more about Nabal and his demise. But what we're going to notice this afternoon is that he was not the same as Samuel. In fact, what we're going to notice is that we have here a married couple who in many ways, as has sometimes been said of them in writings and sermons based upon this chapter, a married couple who seem mismatched. They seem to be opposites. They don't seem to be those who are of a like mind. Now, picking up at verse 1, the second part thereof, we discover needs that David had and how David sought help for him, but most especially for his men. Now the scene is set. We're in the southern area of Judah, towards the Sinai Peninsula. We're in an area that was in those days, and it is said even in these days, well known for the breeding and rearing of sheep. And we discover in that area, in the vicinity of Carmel, there is this man who is given the name Nabal in this portion of Scripture. In fact, we're told quite explicitly that that is the man's name. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. The name Nabal, as the passage makes clear to us, means fool, a person who acts foolishly. Now, some people have said, would you really have called a child by the name fool? That is an interesting question to consider. We just have to take it that this is the name that this man had, because that's what we're told in verse 3. And then you immediately get an indication of how different his wife Abigail is to him. And it's in the meaning of her name. His name means fool. Her name means my father is joyous. And that's a wonderful name. in itself, especially when you bear in mind that believers are those who know that God is the one who makes us joyful. A parent is glad when a child is born. And you can imagine that Abigail's father himself would have been happy and glad when she came in to this world. But as we consider her character in this passage, we can see that she was a person who was joyful in the Lord. But I mustn't get ahead of myself. I've got to explain to you why I've just said what I said about her being joyful in the Lord. We'll come to that in a moment. We're noting at this point the need of David with his band of 600 men. Now we discover, don't we, that this is sheep shearing time. That's precisely why Nabal is in Carmel with his sheep shearers. They've been shearing this vast, vast flock of sheep that this man has. Now, traditionally, in those days, and no doubt the traditions continue wherever possible, sheep shearing was a time of feasting. It was hard work shearing sheep, so many sheep. And Nabal does what would be expected of a man with so many sheep who's engaged sheep shearers to shear them. He provides them with refreshment. David is aware of what the traditions were, of what was happening at that point in time there in the vicinity of Carmel. He knows his men need sustenance, and he sees an opportunity to secure some refreshment for them. After all, he is aware, is he not, of what has been happening in the weeks preceding the sheep shearing. His men have been in the vicinity of Nabal's men, in the vicinity of Nabal's shepherds. They have been looking after the vast flocks of sheep. And as we're going to discover in this passage, when Nabal's men speak to Abigail about the reception that Nabal has given to David's company of 10 that he said to them, those men are freely going to confess and say, look, while we were looking after the sheep, we were in safety, so were the sheep. David's men were near to hand, and they made sure that no harm came to us. So you can see a motive that David may well have had in his mind. He may have been saying, we've done this for Nabal and his men and his sheep. We have a need. Let's take that need to Nabal to see how kind and how responsive he will be to our need. Now you'll see that David gives very careful instructions to his men. We read of that, don't we, in verses 5 and following. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, this is what you're to do. You're to go up to Carmel, and this is what you are to say. Now notice the way that David wants his men to approach Nabal. Here we see someone who is being as peace-loving and as peacemaking as he possibly can be. And that's precisely what we are called to be, peacemakers, just like our glorious, wonderful Saviour. You shall greet them, verse 6 we're in now. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. David is praying, may the peace of God be upon you, Nabal. And that's what any and every believer should be praying for others. May others come to know the peace of God. And why do we want others to know the peace of God? Because the peace of God is that which passes all understanding. It's not like peace between nations after war here on earth, where there may still be and often are some degrees of antipathy or revenge-seeking, bitterness at the war that has taken place. God's peace passes all understanding, because we come to know and enjoy the fact that through faith in Jesus Christ, the enmity that exists between us and God is utterly removed. We now come to love the Saviour, and we know the Saviour's free love, gracious love, poured upon us. Those who taste of God's peace and who know peace with God know indeed that it passes all understanding, and they want others to know it too. And so their prayer is, peace be to you, peace be to your house, peace be to all that you have. And then comes the request for help. David indicates that he knows what has been going on. You've missed nothing. All the time, my men were with you in Carmel. Go and ask your own men, and they will be able to confirm that that was undoubtedly the case. Well, that's what David says to the group of 10, who he sends off to see Nabal. And we discover, verse 9, that those men do exactly what they've been told to do. When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David. And then they waited. So we see the need that David has. We see the way that David addresses his need. He goes to Nabal and asks for help. Now, the next thing we see is the behaviour of Nabal. David is a man of faith, a man of God, who is acting as a man of God. Clearly, Nabal is a man who lacks faith. And as we shall see, he is a man who lives up to his name. He's foolish indeed. And it's the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. What is the first thing that Nabal does after he has heard this request from David's band of 10? Well, he casts aspersions on David. How does he do that? Well, his first question is, who is David? His next question is, who is the son of Jesse? It's as though he's giving the impression that David's a nobody. He's clearly heard of him, because he's actually made reference to his father, Jesse. And yes, he's clearly heard of David. I think we can deduce that from what then follows. For he says, there are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Is that an allusion to the fact that Saul has been saying David's been an unfaithful servant, and that's why I want him found and I want him dead? Because that's where Saul had got to in his own thinking by this point in history. But he is not prepared to help a servant of the Lord, because that's who David is, a servant of the Lord. We shall see that that's precisely what Abigail perceives and confesses. But oh no, not Nabal. No, Nabal behaves much more selfishly. He doesn't want to help David and his band of 600 men. He doesn't want to give them his bread, his water, his meat that he has killed for his shearers, as we read in verse 11. So, the group of 10 are given short shrift, as they say. They're sent packing pretty quickly, or they beat a quick retreat because they can see that they're going to get nowhere with Nabal at this point in time. Now, the record takes us back at this point to David and speaks to us of David's reaction to the report that comes back to him from his men about their meeting with Nabal. And I think we have to say at this point that the man of God got it wrong. And thereby lies an important lesson for each and every one of us. Yes, we can walk with the Lord, but we are not yet perfect. In this life, we struggle with our imperfection. We rejoice in the fact that our sins are forgiven. We rejoice in the fact that the price has been paid in full and that now we're reconciled to our Father in heaven through the shed blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the fact that there is nothing on earth or in heaven or anywhere that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But we're not yet in glory. We're not yet in a state of perfection. We're not yet in our final state. We're in between. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins because we've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We're believers, not unbelievers. But we're living in a world, a fallen world. And we are fallen people living in a fallen world. Yes, people who have been forgiven, but yet people who struggle with the weaknesses and the passions of the flesh. And David gets a bad report. David hears something that saddens him, and he reacts wrongly. He's out, it seems, to avenge Nabal. He's forgotten. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I am the one who will deal with the wicked doers, not you. Your responsibility is to love them, to care for them. Your responsibility is to share the good news of the Saviour with them. Your responsibility is to pray for them. Your responsibility is to turn the other cheek. Your responsibility is to be kind and loving and gracious. Your responsibility is to go the extra mile. But here we see David saying, every man strap on his sword. And every one of them did what David told them to do. And David himself strapped on his sword. And he says, right, 200, look after the baggage. 400, come with me. Let's deal with Nabal. So the man of God is making a mistake. But God acts. And he acts in a way that surprises. God uses, in his providence, he uses one of Nabal's servants. He uses him to go and speak to Nabal's wife. This is what we read in verses 14 and following. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers. He tells her all that's happened. And as we mentioned just before, he makes it quite clear that David and his men have been their friends, their helpers and their supporters, that they have given some degree of protection to them while they were there in their fields. And they did this day and night, day in and day out, whilst they were keeping their sheep. And then he says, verse 17, now therefore know this and consider what you should do. He's saying, look, Abigail, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. What your husband has done has been very unwise. Now, interestingly, you will notice that the lack of wisdom of Nabal is referred to by this servant. And as we read it in verse 17, it seems quite stark the way that it is put. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. You see, the servant is bold. He's speaking to Abigail about her husband, about his master. And he's actually saying, you can't talk to him. He doesn't listen. It's just hopeless, worthless, trying to do that. In fact, the language is, he's a worthless man. That's a damning statement, isn't it, of Nabal, made by an employee, a servant, and made even to Nabal's wife. But she gets the message, and she acts promptly, and she acts generously. And what's her motive for acting in the way that she does? Why does she get this vast spread, enough for 600 people? All these clusters of raisins, these cakes of figs, this food, the loaves, the wine, and the sheep. Why does she do all this? Why does she do this without even telling her husband? Why does she load it, as it were, without his knowledge, onto the donkeys and prepare this journey to go to David with this, if you like, peace offering to him? Why does she do it? Well, surely the answer of the text is because she's a believer. Now, how do we know that? That's a bold statement for us to make. But we know it because of what she says about David, to David, when she meets him. And we read of the meeting in verses 23 and following. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey. She falls before him on her face. She bows to the ground. That must have been an amazing sight for people to see. Here's a man who is avoiding, if we can put it that way, King Saul, keeping at a distance from King Saul, although more recently he's been very close to him and preserved him because he knows he must not touch the Lord's anointed, but he knows that the anointed king has got it in for him. So here is this person who is a bit of an outcast in the society of his day, and here is Abigail, this loving, caring woman, this beautiful woman, falling at his feet. And what does she do? She immediately says, put the guilt on me. Count me as the guilty one. She knows what Nabal has done, but she's saying, don't hold it against him, hold it against me. She's behaving in a Christ-like manner. And this is one of the reasons why we say there's evidence that she is a believer. But then notice how she goes on. Let not my Lord, speaking of David, regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is his name. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt. So she's recognizing what God has done. She's the one who's acted. She's the one who's responded to Nabal's servant who's come and told her what Nabal has done. And she can see that David has stopped. He's not ploughed on to find Nabal and to see him killed along with his men. No, he stopped. And she is saying, now, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand. Now that phrase occurs a little later. She does not want David to take things into his own hand. She knows that things must be left with the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We're to leave injustices in his hand. Our responsibility is always to do that which is right in the eyes of God. And it's not to seek revenge at any time whatsoever. Yes, the Lord has restrained you from saving with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. He has acted foolishly. He's acted as an unbeliever. Let all who want to behave in that way be just like him. Her concern is that people would behave as believers should behave. And so she then offers the present to him and asks for forgiveness for the trespass of her servant. And then she goes on and says, And this is another reason why we believe that she is a true believer. She says, halfway through verse 28, "For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house." Yes, you're going to be the next king of Israel. "Because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. You, David, are serving the Lord. I can see that. And the Lord will bless you. Evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God." God's watching over you. God's loving you. God's caring for you. He will keep you and he will bless you and he will use you. We know what the Lord is doing. That is, in effect, what she is saying at this point in time. So she's behaving as a believer. She is a peacemaker, as David was a peacemaker. She is doing what she can to restrain the man of God, David, from making a mistake. And she's recognizing that the unbelieving man, her own husband, is somebody whom the Lord in due time will deal with if he doesn't come to repentance and faith. And as we see in verses 36 and following, he clearly does not come to repentance and faith. So we see there are three characters primarily. There's more, but there's three characters primarily, three main characters in this passage of Scripture: David, Nabal, and Abigail. They're the ones who play the major roles. Yes, there's the ten, and there's the servant of Nabal who play significant parts, but smaller parts. We're not told as much about them as we are the others. And the passage ends, the passage that we're looking at today, verses 1b through to 35, with the man of God, David, praying that God would be blessed by his people and that Abigail would be blessed by the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." This is verse 32 and following. "Blessed be your discretion and blessed be you who've kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation by my own hand." There's that phrase for the second time. "For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you," he recognizes God's hand, God's providence in the events that have taken place. "Unless you had hurried and come to meet me today, truly by morning, there'd not been left Nabal so much as one, left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David receives, and does so no doubt thankfully, from her hand what she had brought. And he sends her away, saying, "Go up in peace to your house. I've obeyed your voice. I've granted your petition." The comparison that we find in these verses between the unbeliever, Nabal, and the believers, David and Abigail, it's quite stark. And the lesson that we take to heart from all of this must surely be, how like Abigail are we? How like David are we? Are we peacemakers? And are we those who are ready to be corrected when we make a mistake? The followers of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ are those whose lives are to be characterized by humility and meekness. humility, the opposite to pride. Meekness, the opposite to stubbornness. Meekness, a readiness to change. A readiness to stop doing something that we may have thought we would do, just as David thought he would seek revenge on Nabal. He changes his mind when he sees the humble behavior of Abigail, with her humble attitude of mind and heart and body, and the humble petition that she utters from her lips. May God make us peacemakers. May God make us men and women of faith. For we could never be like David or Abigail without the working of God's Spirit gloriously within us. By nature, we're more like Nabal, very like Nabal. But by God's grace, we are those who can know the transforming power of his Spirit at work in our lives. And that's what we come and thank him for as we gather around the Lord's table. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how we thank you that you've provided the way of salvation for us. How we thank you, Lord, for the rich and glorious blessings you pour upon us. How we thank you for the way you mold and fashion us more and more into the image of your beloved Son. Thank you for the way you dealt with Abigail, the way you dealt with David. We pray, O Lord, that we would be those who, like our Saviour, the Prince of Peace, are those who seek to make peace and who seek to do all that we can to spread abroad that peace which passes all understanding, the knowledge of the same, to others around about us. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.